Hello and happy 2021 from EDD. We're back. We said we were going to be here in January, but you know, months, they're just a construct, and New Year's, you know, resolutions are there to be broken. I'm Tim and Brian's here with me. Hey Brian, how are you going?
Hello Tim. And just to kind of give a bit of a visual, like I've got you here on video, and you look very different to what you did before.
Yeah, look, new year, new me.
new late 90s / current trend of peroxide blonde hair, shaved pretty close. But then also you've got the beard, like which is still like brown hair color.
Yeah, there's a nice transition between sideburns and the look.
I didn't see that before. That changes things completely.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll
and I'm, I'll and I'm like, and I pull, I'll move the camera down, and I'm a bit shirtless. You may notice a few extra Christmas kilos if I keep going down, but please don't share. If you've taken any videos or photos, please don't share that with our listeners, because it's a bit embarrassing. Oh, look, I think I ate a bit too much over the Christmas period, so the kilos have packed on. It's a weird time of like, there are times it's like almost forced feeding. I feel some of those days it's like a bit torturous. And then, you know, just the stress of life, I just eat with that. I think we've talked about stress eating before. And the hair was just like something I've wanted to do for a long time. I've always dreamt of doing that Billy Joe Armstrong, like kind of mid-90s peroxided hair. And I've tried a few times with no success, but we finally just got a pungent mixture of bleach out. And here I am. New year, new me. What about you? How's the beginning of your 2021 been? Did you put on a few kilos over the Christmas period?
I'll say something about something you said, because like when you said that, we're getting fattened up, and everyone gets fattened up over Christmas. I thought that maybe someone's fattening us up. Like maybe the aliens are fattening us up, like we fatten up ducks for foie gras. So maybe aliens, Christmas was invented by aliens so they can harvest our engorged livers for their fine dining institutions.
So they kind of planted these delicious like foods, like they invented like turkey and, you know, all these delicious things that we like to eat over the Christmas period, you know, stuffing, because they're eventually going to eat us.
Just our livers, yeah.
Just our livers. Okay, cool. Let's add that to the EDD conspiracy guide, which is growing actually a little bit too fast. We're on our way to being a full-on conspiracy podcast rather than a, you know, food and culture podcast. But look, I think that stuff sells, and it's 2021. It's all about reinventing, and maybe that's the direction that EDD needs to go. Think. That can be
genius.
That can be the like our offshoot of this. It's like think. Wake up, sheeple. Have you actually seen your liver recently?
I feel like the podcast is going to get a lot more popular after that happens. But we'll hold off on that evolution. My holidays, it's been pretty chill in terms of eating. I went to Momofuku Seobo in kind of mid-December because it's still odd to me that this happened, but SBS Food paid me to, well, they didn't pay me to write an article. I wrote an article and submitted it to SBS Food about one of my mom's recipes, and then they published it and then they paid me. So I used that money to go and eat at Momofuku Seobo.
Yeah, I have to explore this a bit more, because like this just suddenly popped up on my Facebook one day. You didn't even tell me that.
No,
you
I didn't.
Were now like this, but it was amazing. So yeah, tell like the article. Was it one of your, so it was exact copy of one of your mum's recipes, and you wrote the story behind it. What was it all about? Because it just like, it was so, I was so proud. I got like emotional for you, Brian.
Oh,
it was like,
thanks,
I just know how much that would mean to you. Like, because it's like you like live and you like live and dream about food, and to get something like on SBS Food, which is such a great publication. I was like, oh, that would mean so much to you.
Oh, thanks, man. It was initially a submission to a new anthology of food from Diverse Voices, something that Lee Tran Lam did. So I initially submitted to that. I didn't get into that that anthology, but they forwarded any kind of notable submissions through to SBS Food for their consideration, and they published it. So it was called A Tale of Two Recipes. So basically it was my mum's recipe for Tong Sam Fun, which is a macaroni soup that's eaten in Hong Kong style cafes Western style cafes in Hong Kong. And then I did kind of like a spin on that recipe, which ended up being a kind of a Japanese influenced recipe called Naparatan, which is basically kind of pasta with tomato sauce, like ketchup. So it was kind of a reflection on fusion cuisine and yeah, how much my mom's cooking means to me. So yeah, that was a really nice thing to be published and nice to be able to eat at my favorite restaurant on that money.
What was the your highlight dish? Was there anything new you tried at Momofuku, or was it, you know, you went back to some old favorites?
So their tasting menu has kind of changed up post COVID, and it'd been probably 3 or 4 years since I'd been there. So yeah, things like dishes were different. They start you off with a big kind of seafood platter, which is like, you know, 4 or 5 plates high, with all these delicious little morsels. So there was a marin in like a really lovely habanero oil, which was really delicious. What else was really good? The main kind of protein was a big kind of pork chop, which was cooked really beautifully, served with avocado and kind of this beautiful stewed black bean. So it was just a really beautiful homely experience. Like I hadn't eaten there in, you know, 3 or 4 years, and the general manager still remembered me from back in the day when I used to stalk them and buy Lucky Peach magazines from them every month. So they remembered
you by the kind of warning sign behind the bar about like, watch out for this guy.
Watch out for, yeah, Momofuku fanboys. You got to watch out. So that was really nice to feel like I was coming home and to be able to just have a night out. So that was a nice dining highlight from December.
So but where do you go from there? Like, it's 2021 now. That sounds like a pretty perfect end of 2020 achievement. Like, is there anything, like, you got any resolutions for 2021?
Well, for me, I mean, I think I'm not sure if I mentioned this before, but I'm starting to get some digestive issues. It's almost like the beginning of a bad joke. It's like the foodie that has a food podcast that now has like digestion issues.
A people listening to the podcast and there's just this weird rump. There are some weird sounds in the background. And look, it's just because you're not like, I've got irritable bowel syndrome. This is a disaster, this podcast. Like, here we are, like, yeah, two guys who can't actually handle food.
Talking. Yeah, this is going to turn into an IBS podcast, which could be really informative and engaging. So in that sense, my goal is to eat more mindfully. Don't eat at my desk while I'm doing work, because, you know, the headspace and the kind of mindset you're in while you eat really helps with digestion. Like I've realized when I you know, eat at my desk and I'm stressed out, like I get digestion issues. But if I relax or if I have my lunch outside, I digest much better. So stuff like that, and just just maybe indulging a bit less often, but just really treasuring and enjoying those moments when I do. So I guess that's going to be my main resolution, is be good until you don't be good, and then enjoy it.
Okay. Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, I think I made this on last year, but I think it's even more important now. I got to lose weight, Brian. It's desperate times. I'm putting on kilos. I'm kind of about to reach like an all-time high in my weight. I think I still want to eat well, you know, but I think I also want to eat a little bit healthier and pick up the exercise to go with it. And just gotta, you know, maybe we can maybe work out a plan for me today to do that. Maybe we're going to, you know, talk about diets and New Year's resolutions and that sort of thing. Maybe we'll find something that works, because at the moment, not having much luck.
Okay, so we've got our goal set is find a diet for Tim. Yeah. A little bit of Wikipedia fact on New Year's resolution.
Ooh.
I guess people have made promises to the gods for millennia at the start of each year for a variety of things. So back in the day, it was about returning borrowed objects or paying debts. And it's really interesting with, you know, in all religious traditions, there's a form of kind of resolution or self-improvement time period, whether it's Lent or I'm going to butcher it, Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish holiday. Interesting, there's a study from the University of Bristol showing that 88% of those who set New Year's resolutions fail. So I guess it's always a tricky one. These resolutions are worth making, but I guess we're not very good at keeping them. So it's figuring out how we do it in a way that's achievable and a way that's going to stick. So, have you made any diet-related resolutions before or tried any diets at all?
I did have success. So I must have been about 5 or 6 years ago, I put on 10 kilograms in a month, which I think I should be praised for, because that is quite an achievement. That was in a road trip coast to coast in the States. I think I remember telling you all about this.
And, oh, yeah.
It was, yeah, three boys in a car driving through the south of the States. And that means a lot of fried chicken and beer. And it was kind of turned into like a bit of a gross eating competition. Like there were nights that we were not actually that hungry, but someone would say, should we go out for some more barbecue? And the other two would go, yeah. Even though I think everyone there was like, I need a salad. But so after that, because I remember coming back, walking into my share house, and I didn't realize I'd put on the weight, which was so horrible. Cause I just I just didn't know. It happened so quickly. And I walked into my share house and there was just this dead silence. I just remember my friend Mark going, he can be a very blunt person, which I love about him. He just goes, man, you look like shit. it was so much harder to lose the weight than it was to put it on. Like I know people say that, but it was like, and the only thing I had really success with counting calories. So I got like a calorie counter app and just actually tracked my eating. And I think what I realized that a lot of my issue is, I think it still is with portion control. Like I sometimes don't eat terribly. Like I think I have been recently, but I think sometimes like it might not be terrible, but I'll go back for that second serve, or I'm so anti-waste. I'm that person you go out to dinner with and people go, oh, I can't actually finish this. And I'm like, well, I'm going to have to. Like, I know what you're thinking, Brian. It's like, where's your Tupperware, Tim? Where's your Tupperware for tomorrow? But self-control, portions, not my strong points. But yeah, my one kind of thing was calorie counting. But I've tried a few times in the last few months and I'm not having much luck. So maybe it needs to be some sort of other diet. Have you, I don't know, you got any ideas, or like, do they work? I don't know. I'm so out of my depth in this thing, but I think I need to look into it, because I'm up to like 93 kilos and I don't want to hit that 100. That would be a disaster. So.
Yeah. Well, I think the plight that you and, you know, all of us struggle with has been considered for a long time. I guess the first popular diet was considered to be something called Banting, and that came about in 1863. It was named after a William Banting, who was a notable English undertaker, which is kind of an interesting kind of correlation. but he undertook a low-carb, low-calorie diet that led to his own dramatic weight loss. And he released a pamphlet, which was popular for many, many years, and it's still like published today, and it's really you've been used as a model for modern diets. The science, or like the research that I've read briefly, is saying that I guess different calorie reducing diets, like ones that focus on a specific food group or a specific kind of type of food, they're all kind of similar in their effectiveness. So not one is superior to another. I guess, as you've kind of alluded to, weight regain and putting the kilos back on after you cease the diet is super common. So the success of a diet, as I said, is all about whether you can stick to it. So basically it's whatever's going to work for you, and what appeals to you in terms of maybe the type of food, or as you said there, it could be in the day-to-day engagement with the diet. So if you're a person that likes to crunch numbers, then maybe calorie counting is a good thing. If you're more of a kind of binge bust type person, then maybe like a fasting diet where you have, you know, 5 days of fasting and then two days of, you know, free kind of free eating days, maybe that can work. But you know, there are some different common factors.
I don't know, but it's just like, I'm not going to lie. Like, it's all like those, they just sound a little bit boring. Like I want to have like, I don't know. I still want life to be fun. And you know, you see all these, I know you see all these like celebrities and they talk about weight loss and you're the Biggest Loser. And it always, it's like, yeah, motivated. I was like, I don't know. Is there like something a bit more fun than just like fasting? Fasting doesn't sound fun to me. That sounds like a nightmare. Like, give me some novelty diet. Like, I want something that like I eat, you know, instant noodles 7 days a week, and yeah, the little packet of like seasoning powder that comes in the mega ring is turned like actually works wonders for your waistline. I don't know. Is there something like that?
Well, I've compiled a list of celebrity diets.
Okay.
And,
So I'm going to
pose a scenario. This is like a fan tales for diets. So okay, here's number one.
Okay, can we hold because with all this talk about dieting, I've just got to crack another beer. So hold on, just 1 second. Hold on, I'm gonna have to try and put this microphone down. Yep, come on, Tim, you can do it.
You're in the middle of the drink beer with everything diet. Shower beer, podcast recording beer.
I once hosted a radio show. I was probably like a bit of a Y grade celebrity, and that was my diet. There was a point, my lowest weight ever. There was a point where I was about 30 kilos lighter than this, and I think that was just like from literally just being so unhealthy and just. Yeah, we don't want to go there. But all right, hit us up. I'm ready. My beer is cracked. I'm ready to guess the celebrity diet.
Okay, so this actress reportedly did the Master Cleanse, which involves subsisting on nothing but lemon juice, maple syrup, and cayenne pepper before starring in the movie Dreamgirls. And the idea being that it detoxes your system and accelerates weight loss. So there's a couple of clues in there.
Okay, actress. I should have given you a heads up. I'm really bad with celebrity names. I'm probably just going to like, I've got the blonde hair. I'm stuck in the 90s. I'm just going to be giving you names of 90s actors and actresses. Reese Witherspoon. I don't know.
Now, it's interesting because I've set up this game for myself because I've put the initials of what the answer is and I've got BK. I think that's Beyonce. Beyonce Knowles. Knowles.
Oh, Dreamgirls. Yes.
Was she in Dreamgirls?
Okay. Yes, she was. Yep. She was. Okay, so... I do, in my cupboard, I have lemon juice, maple syrup, and cayenne pepper. So wait, she doesn't, wait, do you mean that's all she has? Like, or is she using those ingredients every day?
It says subsisting on nothing but. That seems fairly definitive that she's not eating anything else. So yeah, maple syrup's pretty delicious.
Yeah, but that also sounds like you would die in about a week. I don't know, that doesn't.
Well, it's Beyonce, so she's a kind of an ethereal extraterrestrial object anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
So
she's indestructible. And
yeah,
also, why does she need to diet? She's perfect.
She's amazing. She's the greatest. All right. Okay, number two. This reality star posted a photo on Instagram of two capsule pills in a dish with the caption, "Yummy placenta pills."
No.
I will be sad when my placenta pills run out. They are life-changing.
Oh.
Okay, so someone who's a reality star.
And who's, I'm guessing, had a baby because, you know, I'm guessing, well, maybe not. Is there a black market for placenta?
Stolen placenta. It's the thrill of the theft.
All right, let's get into some more conspiracy theories, people. I am going to go, oh God, who's someone who's had a kid?
Okay,
yeah, give us some hints.
She's part of a famous sisterhood.
Oh, a Kardashian. It's got to be.
It is a Kardashian. You just got to guess which one. I still don't know, know who they are. It's okay. It doesn't really matter. Khloe. It doesn't matter who it is. It's Khloe Kardashian.
Okay.
Yeah, look, I think to me, that's like a version of your, you know, don't leave anything to waste thing. Like it's there. Like when I was at the hospital with my son and the midwife just like had the placenta hanging in out, like I was just like, can I take some of that home? And so I took it home and I've got a bit of it in the freezer because it's just like, that's ours. That's property of my wife. Like it's a waste to throw it out.
So it was kind of like I'm picturing the hospital. It was like the, you know, the glassy at a pub who comes to take your glass that has like a third left in it. It was that, like, yeah. Someone came in and you're like, no, sorry, I'm not done with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's quite, yeah, it at least should be offered to me. Like she could have said, oh, are you done with this? She didn't say that.
All right.
Yeah, it is horrifying every time like my daughter or my wife goes into the freezer and just like, oh, what was that? So yeah, it's not for general consumption unless you're Khloe.
Right, might pass on that diet. Have you got any more?
Okay, one more. Shortly after this Oscar-winning actress shared the recipe for her daily breakfast smoothie, which includes a mushroom powder called moon dust, which allegedly imparts feelings of centeredness on. So this was on her blog. The issue was that it costs $200 a glass.
Yeah, I think I can. I know this one, I reckon. Because I know there's like the queen of like this sort of stuff is Gwyneth Paltrow, I'm guessing. Is it Gwyneth Paltrow?
It's the Goop queen herself.
It's Goop, yeah, because there was a question about this in the Sydney Morning Herald quiz or something a few weeks ago. Or maybe the Saturday, a quiz I did about Goop. Yeah, I didn't really know, but $200 a glass, does it work? I don't know. I'm surely even if it does, there's a better option that doesn't cost that. You know, that sounds like taking advantage of people, which I'm sure, unfortunately, I think a lot of diet, it's such a tricky thing because this is what I like. Look, I'm feeling a bit too overweight. And you start feeling vulnerable and you would do anything to start feeling a bit better. I completely get that. So that's what I do hate about this whole thing. There's so many, it's like there are vultures waiting for people like me with a few extra kilos. And they're just waiting, being like, they're just like, they'll dangle like $200 mushroom drinks waiting for you to fall for it.
Do you wish you could look like Billy Joe Armstrong circa 1996?
yes. I think his diet there was like, it was half meth, half something else. I don't know. I don't know. I guess this is what freaks me out. Like reading all those, none of that's cheap. None, like, you know, you got placenta tablets, maple syrup, unless the Aldi one's pretty reasonable. And you know, moon dust, none of it's cheap, but like what actually works? Like, how do we know, does that stuff work? Or is there proven stuff that, you know, that I should just go to in my quest to lose weight?
Yeah. So I guess there are some golden rules, about what works. And it kind of just follows the common sense stuff that we know. So minimizing added sugars. So getting rid of your soft drinks and your lollies and your cakes and stuff. Again, getting rid of refined carbs and your bad oils. So basically that rules out, you know, most fast food. Increasing your vegetables and fruit, that's really, really important. And a great way to get your nutrients and increase your water intake as well. Keeping things as whole foods as much as possible. So opting for whole grains, wholemeal, sourdough, brown rice. Just think about what your grandma cooked you and you'd be pretty sweet.
No, not mine.
Oh, okay.
my I spent a lot of my childhood with my grandma. I think we've talked about this before about trauma from that. But yeah, mine was like packet mystery soup, Dutch curry and rice was a favorite. mashed bananas. Is that all right for my weight loss?
Yeah. Probably, yeah. Okay. We'll take that. Claim that. Yeah. Mashed banana from here on in. Cool. But I guess philosophically the shift that is starting to happen is, I guess, less of a medical model and less of a kind of a reductive mindset and more about nourishing the body. So instead of trying to restrict yourself and cut things down, really thinking about giving your body good stuff, and through that kind of positive kind of cumulative process, that's when the bad stuff just kind of drops off the diet, kind of as a secondary result from that. So I think those key things do work, but again, it's finding a strategy or a system that works for you. So whether that's having smaller meals through the day, I mean, definitely getting smaller plates. Like, I've just started eating dinner off a smaller plate, and that's really worked for me. Oh. And like, I don't know if this is like recommended or not, but I pretty much just don't start eating until sometimes like 10 or 11 o'clock. So it's kind of a version of intermittent fasting.
Wait, in the morning or night?
In the morning. So yeah, sometimes like maybe at recess time, about 11 o'clock, that's when I start eating. So that's kind of a really quick, easy way. It's just having a late breakfast every day. So that kind of worked for me, not so much for weight loss, but just for kind of regulating my mood and kind of feeling a little bit more regulated throughout the day.
So like, I'm hearing all this and like, you're talking about common sense. So, and I've decided that I'm going to go with the mushroom dust. I think it's the only thing that's actually spoken to me so far. I don't know. Look, what you're telling me there, like, sounds doable. It's, you know, when I go for a second serve of food, I'm not necessarily hungry. It's just like my brain just goes, yeah, do that. That'll be fun. Like, So like, just having a small serve, yeah, I can do that. And maybe that's my, one of my first, you know, just regulating my meals. And does this mean like, so you're, you know, if you're dieting, are you cutting out reheated wicked wings that were out of your freezer?
I think that's a therapeutic intervention. Like, that was last night when I was having a really rough night getting the babies off to sleep. And I was just like the whole night when I was like, the babies were screaming, I was just thinking about fried chicken the entire time.
this is our problem. This is it. Like, when I'm having a bad day, I just picture like KFC. What is wrong with us? We've talked about it too much. This is why I'm never going to be able to succeed with a diet.
Dude, I was thinking that we should just turn into a KFC podcast. Like, we should just approach KFC. Like, either that or like, someone needs to fund like a Banh Mi appreciation like society, and then the funds just pay us so that we can review Banh Mi. But like, I don't know, Allison from BQ is already doing that. Like,
can I give can I give a Banh Mi shout out? Because I just, again, yeah, my diet's going great. I ate a Banh Mi this morning at 10 and then lunch at 12. But I've just got a Banh Mi shout out that it is such a weird one. Like, the last place you'd expect to find a great pork roll. But I think it's called the Fox Valley Bakehouse in Wurunga. So there's like the Fox Valley shops, which are like kind of in the back of Wurunga, near the Sydney Adventist Hospital. I'm out there for work once a week at the moment, and it's the highlight of my week. Like, it's so good. They're first of all, like, they tick all the boxes. Lovely people. I think it's like a family run operation. You got like
best.
You got like grandma on the till. She's always got it, you know, like, they're always super friendly. The price is, for Wurunga, it's, you know, it's like a $5.50.
That's really good. Which
I'm more than happy. Like, I usually around that part of the world, it's like a $10 one that's garbage, and that just, which again, it's, if it's great, sure, but they're not. if the other ones around there are not. And the other great thing is fried onion on your banh mi. It's just, God, I've had it in two places now. It's just it's the new hero of banh mi. It's like you get this extra crunch. So yeah, thank you very much, Fox Valley Bakehouse. You're now on my, like, I think they're in my like top five list. It's just so good.
It's yeah, they always deserve a shout out because really they're under pricing and over delivering every bloody day of the week. So yeah, shout out to banh mi operators everywhere.
Yeah. All right. So we have to, like, clearly that might have to go though if my diet's going to succeed. Can we come up with I don't know. Maybe we can. Like, if we, you know, if this podcast, we were in The Guardian, remember? And now you're a published author. We are we're almost celebrities now. So I think we can make a diet. Like, and the thing is, like, half of these diets don't work anyway. So, I'm happy. We've already got, like, I am the, like, you know, we've already got me, like, we've got the before. I'm ready to go. So let's, and I'll, like, you know, I'll go get liposuction or something. Let's come up with the eat, eat, eat diet that we can sell to the masses. And then, yeah, like, I'll have a before and after where I get really swole. And we'll say that this did it. Like, well, what's in the eat, eat, eat diet? It's got to be banh mi. We've already mentioned it.
Okay, so let's see. I think the key with our diet is just to eat really delicious things, but just take out a little bit of the deliciousness. So you just have banh mi, but without any meat in it. And actually, I think that's actually a great banh mi because it just becomes like a pate sandwich. So basically, banh mi, no meat, just pate, mayo, and salad.
Okay, so we still go all the delicious. We go our favorite foods, but we just like remove one element of it. We can call it the, like, I don't know, we just call it take one or like
that's good. That's the catchy.
The take one diet. Yeah, okay, cool. So like what would it be like if you're going to get like an ultimate burger meal? What are we taking? What are you taking out to make it that like healthy?
Just take out the soft drink. That'll do.
Okay, cool. So that's actually not that bad an idea.
This is fucking good. Yeah.
It's like, do what you do, but take one. Oh my God, copyrighted. Don't, whoever's listening, do not take this. Gwyneth Paltrow, get off your...
Stay away.
All right, take one. All right. I'm actually going to try this. Next time we talk, I'm just going to be like, whenever I won't go and like make a potentially bad food decision, I'll at least take part of it out because it will lift the calories. I would be eating it anyway. And at least I'll probably lose, you know, there'll be at least 1,000 less calories a day with the way I eat. So, okay, take one.
That's great. I'm amazed that we came up with that.
That is just buy in now, people. Buy in. I don't, there's all this stuff about stocks in the news at the moment, but these are the stocks that you need to buy. Take one by the EDD podcast. And yeah, I'll give it a go and I'll let you know if I've dropped any kilos when we record next, Brian.
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating social experiment.
You'll probably see me 20 kilos heavier because I'll be like going out and just being like, well, I can go and have some more Dirty Bird. I'm just going to take one chippy out. Oh, well, it's been so nice to record again, Brian. And yes, we promise that we will be recording in March. That is our resolution that this year, EDD, an episode a month, we can do it, Brian.
It's 88% unlikely. It's only a 12% chance that we're going to record in March. But
There'll be episodes. They're going to pop up. They're going to be from the heart. It's just two best friends talking about, two best friends with bad bowels talking about food. So, thanks for joining us. Make sure you jump onto Facebook, look up Eat, Eat, Eat Podcast, Instagram, Eat, Eat, Eat Podcast, and tell your friends because, we have a good time doing it and we hope that you have a good time listening. All right. Thanks, Brian.
Bye, guys. Bye, Tim.
Bye.